It's a shameful thing, lobster head. That song is stuck in my head.
Ever since we played it?
Yeah. Friggin' lobster head.
Lobster head!
Like, is that his one. Superhero theme song?
That should be now. WWE's not using it.
It's a shameful thing, lobster head. What else could go in the theme song?
The next line is supposed to be a careless man who would wind up dead.
He was a careless man, almost wind up dead, but he fell into a vat of atomic goo, and now he's lobster head. It's a shameful thing, lobster head. In the day, he's lobster head. In the night, he's lobster head. Saving the day, it's lobster head. He was a shameful thing, but now he's a hero. Lobster head. I don't know.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanza.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We cover a wide breadth of subjects.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I went deep into the vocabulary there.
Nice, nice.
Breadth.
Digging
when's
real
the last
deep.
Time, when's the last time you ever heard somebody say that? Breadth.
Not in normal conversation.
You usually hear never. Depth.
Depth,
but
yes.
Not, but usually never breadth.
The depth of our breadth is very...
Inept.
Inept.
Whoops.
Okay.
I went for the rhyme. That didn't make any sense. Anyway, let's...
Inept doesn't rhyme, though.
I tried.
So I guess what you said was sort of on point, then.
Yeah! So, I'm a DJ! Yeah, so my DJ skill sometimes doesn't come in handy.
DJs don't have to rhyme, though.
Alright! That's a great way to start the show.
Yes.
Well, before we dive into all of the subjects that we have prepared for you... We like to do a little bit of an introduction and a recap as to what we've been up to in the week since we've last been on the podcast. So, Mike, what have you been up to in the past week?
I've been trying out that new game that I recommended last week in This Week in Entertainment, Bastion, because that game has a narrator that narrates whatever you do on screen. And it's really, really interesting. Like, if you mess up, the narrator will be like, man, he keeps breaking those boxes, but... He doesn't have any reason why. And it's just, it's really, really interesting to like have those things pointed out to you while you're playing. So yeah, I've been in sort of this like
meta,
like self-narration mood. But other than that, I've also, this past weekend, I watched the Game of Thrones season 5 premiere. So good. I don't know. Maybe I think a couple of you guys listening are Game of Thrones fans. This season's going to be awesome. I mean, there's so many storylines. That's the thing with Game of Thrones. There's so many storylines because all these characters are separated and going their own ways. But what we're seeing now in season 5 is that slowly the threads are being drawn together. Like, there's major characters now that are on a collision course that have been on opposite sides of this conflict. And it's going to be interesting to see how they get tied together. So I'm really looking forward to that. But the other thing, Rich, I got to say this week is very special because it's your birthday this week.
Yep, it is my birthday this week.
You thought you were going to get away with me without me mentioning it, huh?
Yeah, I'm turning 26 this week, so...
You're officially past a quarter of a century.
Yeah.
How does that feel to know that you're, like, super old now?
Hey, I'm not super old.
You're only like 2 months older than me.
Yeah, you're bringing up the rear here, pal.
I know. But no, it's your 26th birthday, man.
Yeah, and it lands on the weekend too, which is
that's great.
Yeah, that's very helpful for the celebrations that will take place. If you know what I'm insinuating there. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
I know. It's always,
yeah,
it's always weird.
Awkward. It's
it's like you're turning another year older. It's like, yay?
Yeah.
Question mark? I don't know.
And also, it's not, you know, 26 is
it's not
cool,
a landmark.
But yeah, it's not a landmark thing. It's not like
it's not like
30.
21 or, like another
really the next,
zero.
The next mark is 30.
Yeah, 30,
that's
40,
kind of a big, ooh.
50, 60. Yeah, those are the big ones.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, there's not really, you know, I mean, not to say it's not special.
So you hear that, folks? He doesn't want to celebrate at all.
No, nonsense. I want to celebrate. Let's party.
Yeah.
It's my birthday. Yeah. I don't want to hear happy birthday. I want to hear celebration. Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Woo. Dun, 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 dun. We used to close out the show with this.
Yeah, we did. This is like a blast from the past.
Yeah, bringing it full circle. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday, Rich.
Thank you.
Very happy birthday.
It.
Yeah. But so now that I've jumped the gun by revealing what you know might be doing, what have you been up to recently?
Looking forward to the birthday weekend coming up. Definitely have a lot of things planned to do for it. But other than that, the other thing that I did was, got my mom hooked on the Netflix.
Uh-oh. That's dangerous. That's like getting someone addicted to drugs, Rich.
Yeah.
I mean, are you pushing it? You're like, come on, just a little bit.
Every episode.
You like pull back your trench coat, you have like Netflix DVDs hanging on the inside.
That would be old school
Netflix.
That's
old school Netflix. Yeah. Now you have, like, what?
A laptop.
Wow, that's a heavy trench coat.
Tablet.
Carrying around tablets on the inside. But
dual screens as you
dual
open
screens,
up both
whoosh.
Parts of the coats. Yeah.
So you got your mom hooked on Netflix. What specifically? Anything good?
She is right now binge watching Breaking Bad, which is hilarious.
Oh man.
Because I thought I was a bad binge watcher. Oh my gosh. She like
Are you allowed to say how many seasons she's binge watched?
She started Breaking Bad, I think, Friday. By Tuesday, she was already up to the middle of season 3. She was already halfway done.
Wow. That's how many days is that? Four or five days?
If
you count Friday.
Yeah, but Friday Friday's kind of shot because you're just coming home from work.
Yeah. So like 3 seasons in 4 days.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Congratulations. That's awesome. Not even I binge watch that hard.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody can binge watch that hard. That's impressive. Well, in all fairness, season 1 is short.
Yeah, it is. So, isn't it only like 8 episodes or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, it's like half a season. But still, that's awesome that she's into Breaking Bad now.
Yeah.
Because that is a phenomenal show.
Right.
And, so good. Highly recommend it.
You know what really got her interested in?
What?
Into Breaking Bad was Better Call Saul.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that'll do it, you know, because Better Call Saul was just as good as Breaking Bad.
So if you haven't caught either of those shows, make sure you do that.
Yeah, definitely go check those out. AMC is just spectacular.
Yep.
But anyway.
My poor Mad Men, though. I'm so sad.
I know, it's ending this year, isn't
it? Not yet, but it is coming.
Well, this season, isn't it?
Yeah.
At the end of the summer or something. I still say they might do a spinoff. They have a Walking Dead spinoff. Breaking Bad spinoff. Come on.
Well, we'll find out. Mad Men in the 80s.
Mad Men in the 80s.
New wave.
Well, it doesn't even have to be the 80s. It could just be like a different, what are they, an ad agency?
Yeah.
A different ad agency in the 60s and 70s. I don't know.
Instead, it's Bob Braper.
Bob Braper, yeah. Brilliant. Rich, I didn't know you worked for AMC.
Yeah, coming soon.
Yeah, Bob Braper. It's Bad Ben.
No, wait, no, it should be another street in New York City. Broadway Bashers.
Broadway Bashers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Led by Bob Branson. Coming soon.
Nice. Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right, that's the entertainment entree. We're jumping way ahead.
Yeah.
Let's get to the schedule here. Let's stick to what we've got planned, and let's launch into our first segment of the show. We call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yep. Coming at you in your face. All sports. Oh, so excited.
That's right. We do not discriminate against sports here, as is evidenced by our first topic. Rich, this is one of your favorites. And I know you were probably paying very close attention to it this past weekend, weren't you?
Yeah, this is what I actually was doing over the weekend. I was watching the Masters.
Oh, the Masters.
So much fun to watch golf. And I know you laugh at me by when I say
you were texting me. You were legitimately excited.
Yeah. The majors are so much fun to watch. I mean, because each of these majors have so much history behind them.
Yeah. We were talking before the show that the Masters is just has so much history behind it.
Yeah.
That's the one played at Augusta, right?
Right. But the Masters is probably the highlight of the golf year. It's just the standard. It's the standard
right.
of what golf should be. And it was fun to watch throughout the whole weekend. In the end, Jordan Spieth, 21 years old. This guy
that's pretty young, isn't it?
Yes. This guy must have veins of ice.
Veins of ice.
Because he led the tournament starting on Thursday and just didn't look back. Ended up winning.
Really?
Yep. Wire to wire victory.
Wow. Isn't that really rare?
Very rare.
Because the last time we talked about it, didn't somebody else do something similar?
Yeah, the last time there was a wire to wire victory, I think it was the British Open, I think,
wow.
last year. And for the Masters, that's the first time that's ever happened at the Masters in 30 or so years.
Wow. And
it is
20,
very difficult.
At 21, too.
Yeah, it is very difficult to lead. First off, any major wire to wire, let
yeah.
alone the Masters.
Well,
to lead
any multi-day tournament in anything, I would imagine, is really difficult.
It is. But boy, man, this guy Jordan Spieth. I mean, it's funny because people were comparing him to Tiger Woods back when he won the Masters.
Okay.
In the early stages of his career.
Right.
I actually kind of think it's the antithesis. Tiger Woods, when he was first playing golf,
yeah.
really played with a lot of emotion.
Okay.
You know, you saw when Tiger Woods got upset.
He's got that like fist pump thing that he
yeah.
does, you know.
You saw when Tiger Woods was upset or proud of a shot, you know, he was very emotional. You could read by his face how his day was going.
So is this guy like stone cold?
Jordan wow. Spieth, he just didn't falter at all. And I think the most obvious example of that was Saturday, the third round. He's doing very well. He's leading the tournament. But then at the 17th hole, right before he's going to end his round, it happens. He made a dumb mistake.
Okay.
And he three-putted on the 17th hole.
Ooh.
And had to write down he had a double bogey on that hole.
Ouch.
So you lose two strokes on that.
That's pretty rough.
Now, the next tee shot on the 18th, he sends it far right. And
okay.
When I first saw it, I was like, could this be a little, you know...
is this the moment where he starts to fall apart?
Right. Is this the moment where you start to see some cracks and then Sunday is going to be a tight race? No. He marches down the 18th hole. He realizes he made a bad shot. But then he hits a great chip shot, goes up and down on the green. Gets it, I'd say, within 10 feet, it was around 6 to 8 feet of the hole.
Wow.
And then one puts it in, just
wow.
saves it. I mean.
That's what you got to do. You got to get your nerves under control.
Right.
And you got to come back from those mistakes. Because, you know, I mean, making a mistake in anything, it opens up the possibility of just piling them on after that.
Right. And another key with the wire-to-wire victory is, let's say he double bogeyed 17 and then
right.
he really messes up on the 18th. Let's say he does another bogey.
Right.
All right. That's losing three strokes in the last two holes right before you're going to go into the final round.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have been a lot of pressure going into Sunday.
Yeah. That is a perfect scenario for that snowball effect where you just keep making mistakes to try and get back on top.
Right.
But obviously he didn't let that happen.
No, he didn't. And that's why I say that this kid has just veins of ice. He was cool, collected. He never
wow.
once panicked. Except for that 17th hole on Saturday.
But everybody has
a
bad one.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Except for that moment, he was sinking all of his putts that were 5-6 feet out, which is
wow.
awesome because those are usually the ones that actually mess you up.
Really?
Because, yeah.
A little five and... 5 foot ones?
I mean, they're five. It's a little bit further out, but you still think, oh, I'm going to make it,
right?
You know,
right.
And then you kind of treat it casually, and it breaks at the last second.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
So it was just great to see this kid just go out, own Augusta.
Yeah.
Wire-to-wire victory.
And I'm amazed, you keep calling him a kid. It's true. He's only 21.
Yeah. Just turned 21.
Is that really young for this?
Yeah.
Because 21 seems really young.
The only other person that was younger to win the Masters was Tiger.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
So does that make this person the
second
youngest
to win the Masters?
Wow.
Yeah. Yep. And on a little personal history note, it's also very personal for Jordan, because the talented crew at CBS dug up this old footage of a news profile that Dallas News was covering on young Jordan Spieth. At the time, he was 14 years old, and he was in a program to learn golf on an accelerated basis.
Right.
And they asked him what his goal was for his professional career.
Yeah.
And this is what he said.
Well, my ultimate goal when I came here, Cam asked me, and I said I wanted to win the Masters.
Most golfers just want to go to the Masters.
There it is.
Very few actually think about winning it.
So there you go. Even when he was 14, he was like, I want to win the Masters.
Hey, man, props to him for, following through on that, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, just all in all, great story coming out of Augusta. It was a fun weekend to watch. I enjoyed it. I don't know. I mean, I also love the sport of golf.
Yeah. Well, you play too,
which
definitely adds to it.
But personally, I think if you don't watch the four majors, I think you're missing out. It's just a great, great time to watch.
Well, sorry. I missed out this weekend.
Yeah.
I was not up to date on my Masters coverage.
It's okay. I'll get you on the US Open, right?
Yeah.
I'll have a little U.S. Open party.
Okay.
Woo!
Will there be, like, wings and beer?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
We're not the ones playing golf. We're just watching.
Wait, they don't have wings and beer at golf outings?
They have hot dogs.
Oh, okay. Hot dogs are okay.
They have, like, little booths.
Okay. Fair enough.
Beer, if you know which waitresses and caddies got them.
What do you mean, which ones got them? Are they, like, hiding them?
Well, yeah, because you're not supposed to drink on the tour.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at least during the... Yeah.
Are you talking about, like, the players, or are you talking about the audience?
Yeah,
the audience?
You can't drink during the...
Yeah, but what about the viewers?
Yeah,
like,
oh, yeah,
the people in attendance.
Yeah, sure,
oh, they can? Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm not playing. Well, I'm not playing, so yeah. I'm fine.
Though, what was his name? John Daly? I think he used to smoke.
Yeah,
because I think it wasn't in the rules that he couldn't smoke or something.
Is it in the rules now? Or
probably
just...
is now.
Oh,
but anyway.
Anyway,
golf is
be great to see a golfer just walking around like smoking a big fat cigar.
Oh, I guess I'm
not. Yeah,
here I go.
Hands his glass to his caddy. Hold this. He's still got the cigar hanging out.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see. Harumph. You know,
coming to the British Open.
It is a very British thing to do, I think.
I'll have my brandy and my cigar after the 16th hole.
Yes. But you know what? Speaking of very British things, though, Rich, this is sort of the opposite of a very British thing. We're talking baseball next.
What a transition.
What
there
a transition,
go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But baseball. The interesting thing about baseball, I just read this today, is that baseball games are actually getting shorter in 2015 than they ever have been. In the 79 9-inning games played so far in 2015, games are averaging 2 hours, 54 minutes, which is down from 3 hours and 2 minutes in 2014.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get under the 3-hour mark. And the reason why I bring this up is because you were actually one of the first people to call it when we went to see the Phillies exhibition game. You noticed they had a timer on the scoreboard.
Right.
And you pointed out that it might be to keep them on schedule, to speed up the game.
These rules are often referred to as pace of play rules.
I did not know that.
They're really sticking to it this season.
Yeah.
And we actually saw it during the exhibition game.
We did, yeah.
That when that clock was running, there was no joke. It was, all right, get your ass on the field.
That is one of the rules that they have implemented. The rule specifically is play must resume at a set time after the end of the previous half inning. This is a commercial countdown timer that's set to 2:25, and batters and pitchers must be ready to go when the countdown hits 20 seconds. And yeah, when we were there, we noticed they were very, you know, they were very on schedule. They kept to it.
Yeah. And yeah, the overall game is definitely shortened.
Yeah. And you know what? I think that's a good thing. Because to me, baseball can be one of those sports that just drags on and on, especially, you know, if it's a no score game and it's just, you know, just two teams that
are. Or if it's a no score game?
Well, I mean, if they're like playing really badly.
I'd say the other way. There's a lot of scoring.
Because sometimes they take forever at bat. You know, they just have like, you know, I've seen games where they just keep on hitting it foul like 7-8 times, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's happened, yeah.
You know. I mean, it can go. My point is that sometimes games just drag on and on and on forever.
Yeah.
So anything to speed it up a little bit, I'm a fan of. Because I'm a fan of football, which is rigidly timed. This game is going to end. I'm pulling a George Carlin, you know, yeah. Sudden death overtime. You know, what do you think about this, though? Because baseball is a very pastoral sport. You know, it goes back to, like, you know, like agrarian society where they just play, you know, from sun up to sundown. You know, very spring picnicky feel, take your time. How do you feel about this rigid timing
of
baseball now?
I mean, for baseball entering the modern era, finally, I think it works.
They just got into the 20th century.
Yeah,
so they still got to get into the 21st.
Between
though,
that yeah. and instant replay, yeah. Instant
replay.
They're starting to get there.
I've never heard of sports fans complain so much about, one, missed calls, and then, two, not wanting to check the missed calls. Yeah. I mean, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, no.
That's a horrible call. Check it. God, no. Don't
Whoa,
check it.
That wastes so much time.
And I'm like, oh, yeah, waste time. But the pitcher can throw to first base 7 times before he pitches the ball. Anyway, go ahead.
But, yeah, I think this is going to work out well, especially during the season when there's so many games to cover and, you know, baseball loads up the schedule
yeah.
at night because obviously they want people to watch it after work.
Right, right.
Which is really a shame because, like you said, baseball is meant to be played during the day.
It is. I mean, when you look at the history of the game, it originated with, you know, like farming society. You know, they needed something to do pastime-wise, and they made use of whatever little daylight they had, and they played baseball.
Yeah, so they only schedule one or two games during the day, which
that's a shame.
Yeah, there should be more during the day, more afternoon games.
Yeah, baseball does not strike me as a very prime time event. You know, like football, there's a lot of spectacle to football and basketball and hockey. Even baseball has always struck me as a more relaxed type of sport. You know,
yeah. So I'm looking forward to these pace of play rules. I think it's going to help out.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, anything that gets these games under 3 hours is good by my book.
Now, I got to admit, when we went to see the game, that exhibition game, I definitely thought that game went by too fast. I was like, whoa.
Well, because that one didn't go to the bottom of the ninth, though.
Yeah.
It ended early. But, yeah, it was a very short game. I mean, we spent more time on public transportation than actually at
yeah,
the ballpark.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
You know, but, no, I mean, yeah, when you're at the game, obviously you want it to last longer because you're having a good time at the ballpark, eating popcorn and hot dogs and drinking beer and all that good stuff. But sitting here watching it at home, it's like, please just end. That's my opinion, at least. I know other people that can just watch baseball all day long. So, but, for me, I like the quicker pace, I think.
Yeah. So there you go. If you've noticed that baseball games are getting shorter, you're not the only one. It is actually a true, stat. What was it? What was the actual time?
It's 2 hours, 54 minutes. So it's down by like 8 minutes.
Wow. That's a significant amount of time.
For an average, yeah, this is an average of like 79 games compared to all of 2014. So it could continue to fall. I don't know. But yeah, so now you have more time to watch more baseball, I guess.
Either that.
Fit an extra game in there or go do something else, like watch football.
Yep, I knew that was coming.
Or in Rich's case, golf.
Yeah, don't forget golf.
How long does a golf match take? Because I have to imagine that's the longest sport.
4 days.
4 days. But I mean, like one
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
One day of golf, one round of golf in a tournament.
Well, the Masters usually Well, here's the
thing. It's got to be an all-day event because they have so many people golfing.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Thursday and Friday is the whole field, but then they make the cut.
Okay.
So Thursday and Friday is like all day.
Right.
But then by Saturday, after the first cut is made, it usually start. The Masters started around 1 and lasted till 7 o'clock. So
still
six hours.
A long sporting
it's
event.
It's 18 holes.
That's true.
Mike, come on. Cut me some slack here. We're not baseball. We're not going to have a timer. All right, come on, Tiger. What?
Yeah,
two-stroke penalty.
Faster. No, they should have like a minute and a half at the tee.
Or you know what? Pull a Rory McIlroy. That's it. I'm just going yeah. I'm going to charge right through.
Yeah, I'm going to golf while you're golfing.
That was unprecedented for those that did not catch that. That was the PGA Championship last year.
We talked about that.
That was unprecedented.
Because golf went so long that they were playing in the middle of the night.
Well, there was a rain delay.
A rain delay.
That's what happened. There was a rain delay.
Play through the rain like football. I have to stop using football as my metric, as my yardstick.
Yeah. You know what that means?
What?
That means you're anxious to talk about football, so let's get it to you.
Is.
A little bit of football news for you.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' fucking football!
And we are in the off season, but there is a little bit of football news we have to mention, because it's just legendary here.
It is legendary. Pittsburgh recently announced that the incredible safety Troy Polamalu is retiring after 12 seasons with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
For those that don't know who he is, he's the guy with all the hair.
Yeah, he's the hair guy, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's known for more than just his hair on the field. I mean, he was one of those, you know, jack-of-all-trades type safeties like Brian Dawkins. He could blitz, he could cover, he could stop the run, he could play zone. He was all over the place. He was a great playmaker. I think Brian Dawkins was probably a little bit better, but obviously I have certain biases in play. But the fact of the matter is that Troy Polamalu was one of the best safeties in our generation of watching football.
I would say he's second only to Brian Dawkins.
Well, Ed Reed's up there too.
Ooh, Ed Reed.
So definitely top five. Definitely top five in our lifetime.
You know what? Yeah, I like that. Top five.
Top five, yeah.
Good.
Brian Dawkins is the number one. In my opinion.
Weapon X.
That's right. But yeah, the fact is Troy Polamalu is up there. He's going to be tough for the Steelers to replace. We know, being Philadelphia Eagles fans, how tough it is to replace a safety like that. A leader. A playmaker.
Yeah.
And one of those veterans that just understands the defense. You know, it's going to be tough to fill somebody that brought so much to the team like that. And to make matters even worse,
yeah.
Rich, you pointed this out to me before the show. I didn't realize this, but the Steelers also announced that cornerback Ike Taylor is also retiring after 12 years with the team.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, the Steelers go from this really vaunted defense of, you know, this incredible secondary with Troy Polamalu and Ike Taylor to all of a sudden the Eagles from last year.
Yeah.
I mean what do they do?
If I'm a Steelers fan,
I'd be worried.
I'd be very nervous.
Yeah, because now they look like their state counterpart across the Appalachian Mountains over on our side with our secondary.
And the worst part is the Steelers are in an actual tough division.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that AFC
the Bengals, the Browns, the Ravens. I mean, these are tough teams.
Even the Browns showed up last year.
Despite
all of their wackiness.
Where'd they go, like 8-8 or something?
They went 7-9. They started the season off 7-4.
Yeah, but still,
they were in the lead.
Yeah.
Lest we forget, there was one point in the season where the Browns actually were leading the division.
But it just goes to show you just can't disregard the Browns. They're still there. They're still going to put up a fight, unlike certain teams in our division.
Redskins.
But that's another story for another time. If I'm a Steelers fan, I'm really worried. What does this mean for the Steelers defense? Are they gonna slide backwards now?
Is that division theirs anymore?
Well, in the last couple of years,
it hasn't been the Steelers.
It hasn't
division.
Been their division, but I mean now they're even further from where they need to be. I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think this really hurts the Steelers. I think they're gonna be exploitable on defense now,
definitely.
And coming up in the draft, they're gonna have to fill in some of these roles. They're going to need to look out for a safety. They're going to need to look out for cornerbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
This is all of a sudden, you know.
This has become a serious need all of a sudden.
Right. It's
where for the last 12 years, they've been pretty solid defensive backs. They knew what they had, you know. Now all of a sudden, it's like the Eagles when Brian Dawkins left. What do you do?
Yeah.
You just buy
you
a bunch
can't
of
recover.
Yeah. Well, they could try and do what we did and just buy a bunch of players and stick them in there and hope it works out. That worked out spectacularly, right? Remember Asamoah, how good he was?
What?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Where's your name, bitch? Where's your name, bitch? Where's your name?
Yeah, what was that name? I don't even remember. Who was that?
Yeah, that didn't really happen, did it?
That was a bad dream.
That was.
That's all it was.
Nice.
It was just a bad
nice.
Dream.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, I think this really hurts the Steelers. If I'm a Steelers fan, I'd be a little panicky right now. They're gonna need some help in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing the Steelers have going for them is that, you know, they have a tendency to be able to bounce back. You know, they've proven that they can remain consistent, which shows that they have, you know, good ownership, good coaches and GMs and talent evaluators. So I think that they can eventually find the pieces. I think the this year and maybe next year is going to be a little rocky for them.
Yeah, especially with you know, the Ravens trying to improve. The Bengals are now the division champions, right?
Are they?
Yeah, they were. They just keep losing in the first round.
Yeah, I know. It's they're so bad. I say they're bad, but they made the playoffs, so go figure.
Whoops.
Yeah, the Steelers are going to have a rough time now. And I think, you know what, speaking of the Bengals, though, they can really, really exploit that defensive secondary now.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton and A.J. Green, oh boy.
Yeah.
It's going to be dangerous.
Definitely a little bit of nervousness if you're a Steelers fan. You know what? But yeah, we have to. Why not? We figured there are brothers to the west of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we got to throw some love over that way.
Yeah.
And in return, they're going to throw us a couple Super Bowls, right? It's how it works.
Please,
I was
just one.
I was told there would be Lombardi trophies. No?
Please, just
what
one.
What the hell?
Just one.
Yeah, just one.
Just one.
They have, what do they have, six now, I think?
Yeah, just something Jeez. To shut up those Cowboys fans, all right? Just
God.
Give us one, please.
They always say, like, oh, you've never won. Yes, we have. It's called the NFL Championship. We won in 1948, 1949, and 1960. The only team to beat Vince Lombardi's Packers in the playoffs and the only team to win back-to-back championships with shutouts. Boom. Mic drop. Let's get out of the segment before somebody mentions we haven't won anything in like 50 years.
All right. Mike is already on full out protection mode of the Eagles. That's not good. That means he's going to attack a Cowboys fan in the next five
Give me
minutes.
A Cowboys fan to stab.
All right. Well, we got to calm Mike down. He's going to jump out of his cage in 2 minutes. All right.
Why am I in a cage? Where did these bars come from?
Well, while we calm Mike down, we'll take a break. And we'll hit you with the entertainment entree coming up next. So don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Thieves made off with a full tractor trailer filled of shredded mozzarella cheese bound for a Hungry Howie's Pizza distribution center in Central Florida.
Why?
Would you like to take a guess at how much cheese that's worth?
Oh, God.
$85,000 worth of shredded mozzarella cheese.
That's a lot of cheese.
The truck was officially reported stolen on Sunday. It's on the loose right now in Florida. Someone has $85,000 worth of shredded mozzarella cheese.
What were they planning to do with the cheese?
Can't exactly sell that on the black market. You
yeah,
know?
I can just picture people on the street corner. Hey, want some mozzarella? Can you buy street cheese?
Street cheese?
Yeah, like street drugs, street cheese.
Oh, man. This is the good stuff.
Oh, man, I got some hardcore mozzarella here. They, like, snort it. Oh, man, people are, like, hooked on mozzarella.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you got that mozzarella?
You got that mozzarella?
Oh, boy.
Why'd you turn to Mickey Mouse there at the end?
He's in Florida, right?
Yeah, he is. I need some more of that mozzarella cheese.
Mickey Mouse has a drug addiction to stolen mozzarella cheese.
I can't run the park without my mozzarella cheese.
Goofy, you got some more?
Of course, Mickey. I don't have any mozzarella.
Oh, boy. You need to get me that dime bag. You don't give me that dime back, I'm going to blow your effing head off. I'm the one who knocks.
Yes.
I would now want to see a Breaking Bad and Mickey Mouse crossover where they're dealing mozzarella cheese.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
You think that of me? I am the danger. Say my name.
Yes, yes.
Say my name.
Mickey Mouse.
You're goddamn right.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling. Oh, yeah. I am excited.
Yeah.
Ready for our next part of the show. Very entertaining, if we may say, because it is time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
Guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the entertainment entree.
Yeah, this is Aaron Sheik. I'm in the Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and I have my good Canadian beer, and I'm very happy, and I like to put somebody in the camel crash, or somebody else suplex him and break his neck.
Yeah, it's time to begin the entertainment entree.
Iron Sheik again, huh?
Yeah, and there's a reason why I'm playing it again.
Okay.
Because I did something else over the weekend in addition to all my Masters watching.
Okay. You went to Canada and drank good Canadian beer?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What, you don't do that?
And put someone in a camel clutch?
Yeah, and break their neck? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Do the whole boatload. What, you don't do that?
No.
Yeah, this is Aaron Sheik. I'm in the Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and I have my good Canadian beer, and I'm very happy, and I like to put somebody in the camel clutch, or somebody else suplex him and break his neck.
Yeah. But the reason why I play the clip is because over the weekend I caught the Iron Sheik documentary.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix,
yeah.
It's simply called Sheik. And I got to admit, it was actually really awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course you're going to say that. You love the Iron Sheik.
I do. But, no, but I mean, actually...
Was it good, though?
No, but I mean, it was an actual, like, great biography into everything that went on into wrestling in the 80s. And then Sheik's downfall and then his resurgence in the current era.
Oh, so it does cover, like, some of the more recent stuff then.
Yeah, right.
Okay, cool.
But it's amazing to think of, because I grew up watching wrestling in the 90s.
Right.
I kind of missed, you know, I wasn't born yet. I missed that 80s era.
Yeah.
But, you know, wrestling in the 90s, you still had a knowledge that it was fake.
Right.
You know, you knew that there were storylines and it was scripted. Now, you didn't know who was being pushed within the company like you do today,
right,
with the internet and everything. You
right.
know, today, you know who's already... We already knew Roman Reigns was being pushed heavily in the company, and that's
yeah.
why fans were booing him at this year's WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the 90s, we didn't have that, but at the same time, we still knew, you know, it was fake. Back in the 80s, people thought it was real.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
wow.
And people thought the characters were real.
Really?
And it goes into, yeah, it goes into, the documentary goes into how the Iron Sheik was so hated that
wow.
that people were threatening to kill him.
Oh some, my gosh.
There's a story.
Over a wrestling character.
Yes.
Do they really think it was legit?
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
People, there's a story that's in the Sheik documentary where they had to put actual security bodyguards, not storyline, serious. They had to put serious bodyguards on Iron Sheik because someone had entered into the arena that they were wrestling at with a gun.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's funny, like, we talk about wrestling as being fake and,
right.
You know, why are you watching? You know, it's fake. They don't really get hurt. They all like each other. But, you know, it just,
back in the day.
Nope. Wow. Nobody knew.
Wow. I didn't know that people actually took it seriously back in the 80s.
Yeah.
I thought it was legit. That's really interesting.
So that was one of the, many things that you'll learn if you check out the official Sheik documentary. It was very good.
Do they talk to the Iron Sheik?
Yes, they do.
In or out of character?
Both.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to know what he's like out of character, because I only know him in character.
Well, if you want to get a sense of his out of character, there's actually, I gotta admit, there's a very poignant moment in the documentary.
Well, yeah, a biographical documentary isn't any good if it doesn't have a poignant moment.
Yeah.
You know?
That involves Sheik and his three daughters, which is...
Oh, wow.
It's very emotional. I don't want to give it away if you want to watch
right,
it.
Right.
So I encourage you, if you're even remotely a fan of wrestling, you should check out the official Sheik documentary that's on Netflix right now. So go check it out. Why not? It's the Iron Sheik.
You make me very, very mad. You eat the cheeseburger and smoke the crack?
Yeah.
I love that one.
That's what will happen if you... he will get very angry at you if you don't watch the Sheik documentary.
Yeah, I might have to watch it because, you know, I've heard so many of his clips, but I don't know anything about the character or the man behind the character. Yeah. So it might be time for me to check it out.
It is. It's a very good documentary. Also, another quick thing is... The Iron Sheik actually, like, started out as an Olympic wrestler.
Oh, wow. So he's legit, wrestler.
So when he was working his way up through professional wrestling, there was an angle where, of course, he was going to win the World Heavyweight Championship belt, gain all this heat, but then he was going to lose it to Hulk Hogan. And
okay.
Hulk Hogan would go on to create Hulkamania and, you know, super stardom.
Right.
Right? And there were people within the wrestling industry at that time that were telling Sheik, why are you dropping the belt to Hulk Hogan? You're an actual wrestler. And it came to a point where I believe it was Vern Gagne told Sheik that I will pay you $100,000 if you actually go into the ring, refuse to drop the belt to Hogan, and hurt him in the ring.
Wow.
Yeah. And Iron Sheik could have done it. Because he was actually a trained wrestler.
That's really crazy. People were offering... That must have been a lot of money back in the 80s, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's still a lot of money, but, you know.
Right.
That's crazy,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it's just things like that that you don't think of going into, you know, especially for me, growing up on modern wrestling.
Right.
Like, it's things that I would never even consider of.
Yeah.
The closest thing we probably ever came to that was the Montreal Screwjob, where... Shawn Michaels got the WWF title belt from Bret Hart because Vince McMahon was afraid Bret Hart was going to leave to WCW with the WWF belt. That's probably the closest thing that actually happened on terms of that scale. Anyway, I digress into wrestling. I'm sorry. I go off on wrestling very easily.
My football is football. Your football is wrestling.
Yeah, exactly.
My God, what the hell's going on tonight?
All right, Ric Flair's yelling. He doesn't know what's going on. Let's dive into the entertainment entree, and we will kick things off with Mike's segment. Mike, please take it over. It's time for This Week in Entertainment. All right, Mike, what do we got? What should keep an eye out for in this week?
Well, you just gave us a great recommendation for a Netflix documentary to check out. But if you want to see a documentary on the big screen, you can go check out Disney's Monkey Kingdom. It's a nature documentary featuring, obviously, monkeys. It's narrated by Tina Fey. It follows a newborn monkey and its mother as they struggle to survive within the competitive social hierarchy of the Temple Troop, a dynamic group of monkeys who live in ancient ruins found deep in the storied jungles of South Asia. So again, narrated by Tina Fey. Disney has a pretty good track record with coming out with these nature documentaries. It's got a 72 out of 100 on Metacritic right now. So if you're looking for some more documentary action, go check out Monkey Kingdom. If you're looking for some good old-fashioned popcorn-munching fun at the movie theaters, though, go check out this one. It's a horror movie, Unfriended. This is pretty interesting. It's got mediocre reviews so far, but I think it's interesting because of the way that it switches up the horror format. The entire film is from the perspective of a computer screen. It's not very high quality, but it takes a modern-day twist to the horror genre. And basically, what it is it's a group of six friends on a Skype video chat, and a seventh member joins them from the account of a girl who committed suicide 1 year ago. And, of course, a bunch of crazy stuff starts to happen, and they get picked off one by one by whatever this supernatural menace is. I don't know. It seems pretty interesting. If you're a fan of horror films, if you want a good, quick, fun film to not really tax your mind, this might be it. Go check out Unfriended this week in theaters. In the world of video games, we have a big release. Grand Theft Auto V is coming out finally on PC. It's notable because this is being hailed as the definitive version of the game. It is the best version of the game. It runs at 1080p, 60 frames per second on PC. The first Grand Theft Auto to run at 60 frames per second. But also, if you have the budget to handle it, you can display the game in 4K resolution on 3 monitors. Whoa. So, yeah, I don't know why people would want to do that. 3 monitors just seems like overkill. But sure, why not?
Yo, dog, I heard we like your... Yeah, if I could talk. I heard that you liked monitors. Let's put a monitor on top of your monitor, on top of your monitor.
Pimp my computer,
yeah.
Exhibit. but you know what? It's just more than the resolution that makes it such a great definitive version of the game. It also comes with Rockstar Editor, a suite of tools that allows for the capturing, editing, and uploading of gameplay video. But what's really unique about this is Director Mode. Basically, it allows players to become a director and stage scenes by placing characters and fiddling with the weather and time of day, and also adding in animals to the scene. It also allows them to trigger animation gestures and dialogue phrases and enable in-game cheats to set up the perfect scene to act out their craziest heist film fantasy. So, I mean, that's pretty neat, don't you think?
You'll be able to make a movie.
Basically, that's what Rockstar is hoping. People will make movies in Grand Theft Auto V.
Wow.
Which, I think that's pretty neat. I can't wait to see what some people come up with. But finally, a new release this week. Mortal Kombat 10 is coming out for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Mortal Kombat!
Yeah, Mortal Kombat. And in fact, in honor of Mortal Kombat, I have a little treat here. Woo! Yeah, there we go.
Yeah!
It's the Mortal Kombat. Yeah. It's the character select music.
This is my favorite music from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's just so awesome.
It's a great tune. It's a great tune.
Yeah.
But finally, Mortal Kombat is coming to current gen consoles. The PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 versions have been delayed, but it's got an 84 on Metacritic. It's doing pretty well. Everybody knows what Mortal Kombat's about. Ultra violent, 1v1 fighting, bunch of fatalities. Lots of blood. That riff was really loud in my ears, but that's
awesome.
Okay. I know we're both fans of Mortal Kombat here. It's been facing a little bit of controversy with its downloadable content scheme, though, which sort of leads into our next area of conversation, Rich, with the age of video game downloadable content and how Mortal Kombat is handling it.
All right.
There you go. Perfect.
So that's the end of the entertainment entree as well.
Yes.
The end of the This Week in Entertainment.
This Week in Entertainment, yes.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah, and I think it's great.
It's
the
like
music
meshing.
Ended exactly.
Yes. Very meshing of the two subjects. So
yeah.
What is the storyline with this Mortal Kombat 10 microtransactions?
Well, that's the big issue, is the microtransactions.
What the hell's going on?
Yeah, so the big issue is...
Don't you mess with my Mortal Kombat.
No, and that's what people are upset about is, you know, it's the principle of the matter that...
I want to shove a sword up your ass.
Wow. I'm pretty sure that's probably a fatality.
Yes,
actually,
is.
I watched a video today where they have these moves in the new Mortal Kombat games called X-ray moves. Have you seen them?
Yes, yeah, I actually saw a clip of that, yeah.
Where it shows the insides of the fighter getting pummeled, and like when you hit them, like their bones break and organs splatter. But one fighter, Johnny Cage, do you remember Johnny Cage?
Oh, yeah, he's one of my favorites.
Who has the crotch punch?
Yeah.
I think you know where I'm going with this.
Oh, no.
They do an X-ray move of it. It's actually Johnny Cage's daughter, I think. It's really weird. But Johnny Cage's daughter has the same move. The crotch punch, and it's an X-ray move, and it actually shows things rupturing down there, which is just awful. I don't know why they would do that.
You know why? Because it just to make you squirm in your seat.
Yeah.
And just imagine the pain that must be.
I mean, they explode like water balloons. It's horrific.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Fatality.
Yes. And you know what? That is super appropriate that you bring up fatalities, Rich.
Fatality.
Because that is the main issue that gamers are having with this DLC.
Finish him!
When you hear that sound, you have to put in a complicated button combination to perform a...
Fatality.
The problem is, though, is that some people have trouble performing...
Fatality.
So... The developer has made it easy for them to perform.
Finish him!
No, all right, we're going to stop.
Fatality.
Or not. But the microtransaction is this. Instead of inputting the complicated button sequence, the developer is offering gamers the opportunity to purchase a pack of what they dub easy fatalities.
Fatality.
Yeah, easy fatalities. Where you can perform a fatality with just two button presses. The part that is getting gamers angered, though, is the fact that these are piecemeal DLCs. So you can buy a pack of 5 easy fatalities for 99 cents or a pack of 30 for $5. And, you know, once you use up your pack of 30 easy fatalities, you got to go buy another pack.
Finish him!
Or, you know, you could memorize the button combinations.
Yeah, just do that.
But the other aspect about downloadable content that people are having an issue with is the fact that there's also a $20 pack that unlocks everything in the game right away, which to me defeats the purpose of the game.
Yeah. Why
pay $60 for a game and then pay another $20 to unlock everything that would be the goal of playing through it, you know?
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
I mean, it's like, will every game start to do this?
That's what I'm afraid of.
Like,
is,
if I get the next Grand Theft Auto game and I don't feel like playing the story, all I gotta
just
do
unlock
is,
everything. Yeah.
Just pay for the unlock. Whatever. Is it a cheat code? How does that work? I can't imagine it's a cheat code because then
no,
you can,
share
it with friends.
It's just a little modification to the game code, probably. It's just like a little unlock key where you buy it and it just the game registers that you bought it and it just unlocks everything. I think Grand Theft Auto 5 does have microtransactions. You can buy cash for the online mode, can't you?
Oh yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, no, the end is here.
And so the issue is players are. You know, they have this perception that it's pay to win. Grand Theft Auto 5, you can pay to win.
Yeah.
You buy the money. You can buy the cars and the weapons and the body armor and all that stuff. So players are paying to win instead of playing to win.
No!
Yeah, that's going to take the fun out of it.
Yeah.
Especially for any multiplayer modes.
Yeah, it really, I think microtransactions, if you must have them, should be limited to single-player campaigns. Although, yeah. I don't even want that because I can't imagine, like, the next Mass Effect. Could you imagine if the next Mass Effect is like, oh, you know, buy a pack of 5 Paragon Interrupts or something
like
that.
Don't give them any ideas.
I'm sorry I just said that. EA, just ignore me. Ignore me.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
She's not a Christian!
What was that?
Not a Christian.
I'm so confused. Did you mean to play that?
Yeah, it's not Christian.
Why
it's not Christian.
It's not Christian.
Yes.
Okay.
That's against my religious beliefs. I shouldn't have to pay for these microtransactions.
Damn straight.
She's not a Christian!
That person got so angry.
Yeah. All right. It's not Christian.
Oh my gosh. I'm just completely distracted by that clip now. What is that from?
It's from some reality show.
She's not a Christian!
I think the devil came out of her a little bit there.
I think you're not Christian, lady.
Yeah, really. She was summoning like Beelzebub from the depths of hell, you know?
It's appropriate for Mortal Kombat.
It is appropriate for Mortal Kombat.
She's not a Christian!
That's her fatality, and you have to pay to unlock it.
No! Stop it with the microtransactions.
Fatality.
All right, stop it.
Oh, boy.
She's not a Christian!
But back to the subject at hand, though. Just to be clear, you're not actually paying for the fatalities. You're paying to...
Have the easy fatality.
Have the easy fatality,
so that
yeah.
you don't have to memorize the button
Which,
code.
Which, back in my day, you know, Mortal Kombat 1 and 2... You know, performing a fatality, the reason why they have fatalities is to demonstrate your skill. Like, you just beat somebody, so prove that you're really good and completely mutilate their character. If you're paying for easy fatalities, like, it doesn't affect the outcome of the game, but it just, I don't know, it just takes away something from the legacy of it, I guess, in a way, if that makes sense.
Well, the traditional skill set of the game.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't like the fact that they found a way to nickel and dime gamers as well. You know, because people will pay
$60 for a game. Isn't that enough?
Yeah, exactly. So imagine you pay $60 for the game, $20 to unlock everything, and then $5 to get a pack of 30 easy
fatalities.
No,
don't forget the limited edition with the scorpion head that'll come with your order. That's probably $149.99.
I will say that would be a cool special edition.
I don't know, whatever the hell it is. There's probably something like that.
The only special editions of games that I will buy are ones that come with the soundtrack. Like, that is a rule that I've set for myself. Like, if it comes with the soundtrack, I'll pay the extra $10 to get it because I want the music for the game. I did that with BioShock. Loved it. Did it with The Last of Us. But I wouldn't pay $20 to unlock everything because... Why bother playing the game? You play the game to unlock things. So I just think it's completely defeats the purpose of it. But yeah, Mortal Kombat is getting a lot of heat for this. And it's funny because it's not even really a controversy because all these things can be unlocked in the game without paying any money. But people just want to get outraged over it. But I think they're just taking it out on Mortal Kombat because it's the latest one to do it. You know what I mean? Mortal Kombat.
Well, I think people are afraid that this is going to be the new norm.
Well, I mean, it's proven that it is the new norm in a way.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like you said, the game should not be pay to win. It should be play to win.
Yeah. No, it's very true. And Mortal Kombat's just the latest one to do this, and it's a sign of the times that...
And I think that's what people are getting afraid of.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Mortal Kombat was just the latest one to do it, and so they're getting all the flack for it.
Right.
But the fact is, a lot of games are doing this. Even Grand Theft Auto V did it, and nobody really said anything about that. I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because Grand Theft Auto V is, like, on a separate level from everything else. But Assassin's Creed... got a lot of flack for it. Mortal Kombat's getting a lot of flack for it. Every mobile game out there on smart devices gets flack for these microtransactions. And yeah, it's a little disheartening to see video games go that way. But vote with your wallets. Don't buy the DLC. You know, that's the only thing I can say to gamers is don't buy the DLC. Go and play Mortal Kombat the way it's supposed to be played. Grind until you unlock everything, and then learn to do the fatalities on your own by looking in a cheap book that you bought at the supermarket for like $4. That's how I did it.
Yeah, that was the good old days.
Bought tips and tricks, and they had all the cheat codes listed for every game, you know? And you would go and you'd sit there with a cheat book, and you'd, you know, put in all these button combinations, get it to work. Those are the good old days of video games. You don't have
to finish him.
Yeah. Don't pay money for it. Don't pay.
Fatality. Game over.
Perfect. Game over.
Perfect way to end that subject.
Yes. But you know who it's not game over for, Rich?
Who?
Activision and music video games.
Oh, yeah. I keep hearing these, you know, just little blurbs that are coming up about Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
That's
Lay
right.
it on me. What the hell is going on?
Well, the band...
Why the hell is this franchise from 2010 coming back?
That's right. Music games are continuing their comeback tour. Activision has announced that Guitar Hero Live will be launching in fall 2015. So first Rock Band announces Rock Band 4 for 2015, and now Guitar Hero announces, you know, a game as well for 2015. Did I say 2014? I meant 2015.
There you go.
Yeah, see, I'm going back in time. But it's interesting because both games were both series had the last full game launch in 2010, and now 5 years later, they're both coming out with their next game in the series. So I just think that's interesting that they both sort of waited the same amount of time. I'm really excited for Guitar Hero Live, though. You want to know why?
Why?
Because it's actually changing the music game format in really interesting ways. There's two unique ways to play. The first way is to play the normal Guitar Hero track of the Falling Gems with the music video of the song playing in the background, which I think is really cool. Instead of having like these fake little rockers on stage, you get to play the music video, and it's a way to send that score to a friend or a stranger and have them try and compete against that score, which is really cool. But the biggest change is the Guitar Hero Live section, where you play for the first time in music game history from a first-person perspective, looking out over a live-action crowd that reacts in real time to how you're playing the song.
Okay.
Does that make sense? That
sounds so really cool. You're actually looking out into the audience.
So you're actually looking out into the audience. And the band is also live action alongside you. And you can go look up the trailer. And you're playing, you know, it has the track going down the screen. But you're looking out at the fans. And occasionally the guitarist will turn and, like, look at the drummer or lean in to sing at the mic. It's just a really neat new take on it to give you that feel that you're actually playing for a crowd instead of having this, you know, this third person sweeping perspective of these little cartoon figures playing guitar on stage. The other thing that they've done to change up things is completely change the controller. So before, fans of Guitar Hero will remember five colored buttons, right?
Yeah.
So instead of five, here's the big change. This is crazy. Three rows of buttons of Let me back up. It's confusing. Six buttons. It's three and then three underneath them. So it's like two rows of three buttons, one on top of the other. Two rows of three buttons, yeah. And the if you imagine the fret of a guitar, one is in the front, one is in the back, and the front ones are colored black or white and the back ones are colored black. So instead of moving up and down the neck of the guitar, you're moving like forward and backward on the neck of the guitar, if that makes sense.
Okay.
It's completely different, but it's to give that feel of, you know, I'm like doing hand motions nobody can see. It's to give that feel of moving your fingers, you know, back and forth across the neck of the guitar instead of up and down along the fretboard. So they're completely changing the way you play. They're completely changing the look and feel of the game. And I think finally, this is the evolution that music games needs, because part of the fun of Guitar Hero the first time it came out was learning to play the game, right?
You mean actually learning the buttons on the plastic guitar?
Yeah, it was completely different than a normal video game controller. You're learning to play this game. You know, you go through the ranks, easy, medium, hard, expert. You know, you keep playing and you keep getting better. And it was just this fun, growing, learning experience with a completely new style of play. I think it's trying to recapture that magic of strapping on a guitar and having to start from scratch and work your way back up the ladder.
Okay.
I think. And that's what was fun for me playing Guitar Hero. You know, I played through it on easy. And it's like, okay, maybe, you know, I'll try medium. Then you master medium. Then you try hard. You just keep getting better and better. It's something to work towards. And I don't know. That's what was fun for me initially with Guitar Hero. So I'm excited to see them recapture that sort of magic. What do you think about this? All the changes that are coming to this game. Do you think this is the shot in the arm it needs to finally change things up, or do you think it's still too much of the same?
I mean, I don't know how exactly it's all going to play out. I'm just surprised that after 5 years, they're going to try and relaunch this brand. Both of them. Both Guitar Hero and Rock Band.
I think it's been enough time, though, 5 years.
There is, you know, some time that has passed, but I don't know. I don't know if it's going to work. I think it's going to be, it'll be an interesting experiment to see if it will.
It will be an interesting experiment. And I think that, you know, finally, you know, for a long time, Rock Band and Guitar Hero were targeting the same audience because they both had band games. And I think finally, and it was basically the same gameplay. It was the five columns of falling gems.
Yeah.
Right? So it was so repetitive, you know, playing Rock Band and then Guitar Hero. It's the same exact thing. Where now it's completely different. Rock Band is focusing on the band experience, the core, you know, perfecting the core gameplay of those falling gems, which is great. You know, it has the band, you know, if you like that, you like that. But Guitar Hero, on the other hand, is focusing solely on the guitar, once again. And they're completely changing the gameplay. They're changing the perspective. They're changing the controller. They're changing the button combinations. They're changing everything. So finally, you have two completely different products instead of one product with different skins on it.
So which one do you think is going to be better in 2015? Because I guess they're both coming out this year then, right?
Both of them are coming out this year. It's going to be tough to decide which is going to be better. Rock Band, I know, for one, is looking for ways to include all the previous DLC in the game. So whatever tracks you bought, you'll be able to play again. Guitar Hero obviously won't be able to do that because the guitar is different and the note tracks are different. So
you got screwed, Guitar Hero fans.
Yeah, Guitar Hero fans, you got screwed. Well, to be fair, Rock Band had a much larger DLC library than Guitar Hero.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, it was huge. They put out weekly releases. But I don't know anything about Rock Band's set list, whereas Guitar Hero, they've announced some bands that you'll be able to play songs from, including Fall Out Boy, My Chemical Romance, Green Day, The Killers, Skrillex. But these are the
Skrillex?
Yeah.
Really?
The Lumineers, which is going to be fun, and these are my two favorites, The Black Keys and The Rolling Stones.
Oh, as long as you have Rolling Stones, that's like a must-have.
Yeah, it is a must-have. But, you know, I got to say I'm cautiously optimistic to see where this goes. You know, I'm interested to see the completely new format. Instead of five columns of falling gems, it's now three columns of two colors, which is really interesting if you can envision that. You know, it's a white and black version of each column.
Right.
And you have to, you know, figure out which button to hit. So it's an added layer of complexity. It's changing it up. It's making it different. And that's what gamers want. They want something different.
Well, yeah, Guitar Hero, they have to make this different. They got to at
they
least
really
try
do.
Something.
Yeah.
Shot in the dark, something.
Yeah, I'm surprised Rock Band didn't try and strike out more, you know? All they're doing is relaunching a new Rock Band without changing it up very much.
Well, we'll find out which video game music franchise will be the best of the battle of the bands, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I guess so.
We're actually going to have a battle of the bands.
Yeah, they're finally squaring off again after 5 years.
So on that note, I think maybe we need to take a break and leave the entertainment entree. But do not go anywhere, because coming up next, we'll have the crazy odd news in the non-fortune cookie odd news. So don't go anywhere. More of the show still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A wanted man in Tennessee was found inside the closet of another person's home, just sitting there enjoying a bowl of salad with lettuce.
But in here, I have lettuce. Yes, three-leaf lettuce going all over the place.
54-year-old Timothy Black was wanted in Monroe County on charges of shoplifting. An investigation led deputies to a home in McKinn County where they said Black was hiding inside a unlit closet with a bowl of lettuce right in his hand.
So he's sitting in the pitch black of this closet, just eating lettuce.
Yep. You gotta enjoy your salad in the dark, obviously.
Hello, lettuce, my old friend.
I've got your dressing once again. Yes.
Hello, lettuce, my old friend. I've got your pal carrots once again.
Sheriff Joe Guy told the news outlets that a responding deputy had to tell Black to put the fork down because it could be used as a weapon.
Put the fork down!
Put the fork down now!
And drop those croutons! He's got croutons!
Go, go, go!
Crouton neutralized, sir.
My God, he's got cucumbers.
Oh my God, that's a cherry tomato. Did he have bacon bits?
Oh God, sir, I can't get through all the crunchiness.
It's too crunchy. Sir, step away from the salad.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Chilling out late at night recording this podcast just for you.
Grooving to this music.
Yeah, I
What's
love it.
What's this from? Is this Portlandia?
Yeah, it's the Portlandia theme song, yeah. Also another good show you should check out. I feel like our show is...
It's really good, yeah.
Our show,
I've only seen like 3 episodes, but it's amazing.
It is. It's a good show. I feel like our show is just... A guide of everything that you should be watching on Netflix.
I mean,
we're your Netflix recap show.
We are, yeah.
That's what we do here.
But coming up next, we still might. If something just goes off into a Netflix conversation, we'll still run with it. But coming up next,
all hail the mighty Netflix.
Yeah, right.
They've paid us $10 million to say that.
Please.
Yeah.
Check should come in the mail, right, Netflix? No, but
the Crispy Noodle Podcast brought to you by Netflix.
Yes.
And crack cocaine. Which leads us to the next segment.
Yeah, that's right, because it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders, go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride. Meatloaf excelled to the level of dancing on a rainbow with no fear and no doubt. Love you very much. I'm going to come see you one day, whether you like it or not.
I love those Gary Busey clips. That one, though, with the meatloaf, it's just perfect. It's got that little piano at the end. You know?
Meatloaf excelled to the level of dancing on a rainbow with no fear and no doubt.
Yeah.
I just love it. It's so, like, bright and cheery.
Yeah.
Just like the non-fortune cookie on news.
You know, when Meatloaf is dancing on a rainbow, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful.
The musician Meatloaf, not actual Meatloaf.
No, Meatloaf.
Oh.
All Meatloaf.
Meatloaf is dancing with
Meatloaf. Holding Meatloaf.
On a rainbow made of Meatloaf.
Yes.
Ah, it's like perfect. It's like heaven.
Yes. Beautiful.
Meatloaf excelled to the level of dancing on a rainbow with no fear and no doubt. The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
So there you go. Be happy.
So, yeah, just like Gary Busey, the non-fortune cookie odd news is filled with random craziness. For those of you that don't know, here in the non-fortune cookie odd news, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. I've never heard these stories before. He's found them and kept them hidden, secret, safe, away from me. So my reactions are my gut reactions, my initial reactions, the first time hearing these stories. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen, because sometimes these stories take us on wild and crazy journeys to the edges of the cosmos and back.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've
been reading a lot of science fiction lately. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I'm in a very sci-fi mood.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, how about we bring you back to Earth with just a stupid story to start off the
although some of these stories, you could question whether these people have normal human mindsets.
Right.
But go ahead. What do we got first?
Well, let's bring you down to Earth with this absolute stupid story. Australian authorities said that a man was actually hospitalized after, while he was drunk, decided to eat the glass beer bottle that came with his beer during a family gathering.
He decided, how do you, I mean, how do you, what, you know, the first bite, it's really hard glass.
Yeah.
I mean, he had to have been really drunk. How did he eat it? Did he eat it like an ice cream cone? Like he just like bite into the top of it? Or did he like cut it up with a fork and knife? Or?
Well, that would be the polite thing to do, especially at a family gathering.
Or did he like smash it and gather up the pieces? And,
I hope
like,
he didn't smash it. That's a waste of a beer bottle.
Yeah, really. I'm interested in how he went about doing this, because to me it seems impossible.
Northern Territory Police Superintendent Luis Jorgensen.
Oh my God, what a title.
Yep.
What was that?
Northern Territory Police Superintendent.
Northern Territory Police Superintendent. Why are you a policeman and a superintendent? Are you the superintendent to the police?
Yes.
What does that even mean? Why can't they just call him Captain? Captain Bob. There. Done. No, it's the Northern Territories, whatever. Oh, that's right, because it's Australia.
Yeah, this is how they do things in Australia.
Oh, everything's backwards there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, Luis Jorgensen said that police received an emergency call last Wednesday about a man at a family gathering in Wagamon, Australia, who chewed and swallowed a glass beer bottle and then went for a lie down where he passed out.
And then went for a lie down and passed out. At which point, he died.
Well, his family then called police. An ambulance took him to the local hospital. The man is recovering, so he survived.
So he ate the whole bottle.
Yeah.
Went and took a post-meal nap. And then the family called the doctor.
Yeah. Let him take his nap, and then we'll call. And then we'll worry about his stomach.
Little Billy just drank a pint of rat poison, but you know he's taking his nap right now. So yeah, we're gonna wait for him to wake up. Yeah, it's just he ate the whole beer bottle.
Yeah,
did he? Is that confirmed? He ate the bottle.
It says he chewed and swallowed the entire glass beer bottle.
Oh my God. This family is horrible. I mean, the guy, he ate the beer bottle. Okay, yeah, that's pretty messed up. But this family is just awful. They let this dude eat an entire glass. He could not have scarfed that down fast like a hot dog.
Future is already here, so why don't we go get a beer?
Yeah,
he had the beer, and then he had the beer bottle.
Right, and that was his meal.
But I'm thinking, like, this is a long, slow, painful process. I mean, imagine eating a beer bottle. Right? It's... You know,
that does not go down the hole very well.
No. So this is like, you know, this is like a 5-10 minute meal probably. What is the family doing?
They're getting drunk as well.
Are they like cheering him on? Are they watching? Like, yeah. First they're like, chug, chug, chug. Then they're like, eat, eat, eat.
you know what? They were probably like, what the hell was his name? Oh, they don't even say his name. He's that embarrassed. They were probably like, yeah, Bob, go ahead. You eat that beer bottle.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe they thought he wasn't serious.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he comes back. Oh, it's gone. Damn it. We needed that extra beer bottle to get over the threshold to win the recycling contest.
Okay. We were one beer bottle short of winning this imaginary recycling contest.
Yes.
What were we going to win? A koala bear.
And Bob had to be selfish and eat the glass bottle.
Bastard.
You bastard.
Just wait for it to come out the other end and glue it back together.
Well, true story. Some drunk idiot decided to eat the beer bottle.
Oh, boy.
All right. Ready for our next story here?
Yeah.
All right. This one's interesting. Customs officers in New York said that a man entering the country from Colombia was found to be hiding heroin in the crotch of his underwear. Oh, right up the crotch. Why not?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
But it was just in the underwear, though.
Yeah.
Ah.
You're disappointed?
We've had some really crazy stories, Rich.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as G's nuts.
People have been shoving things up places. You're like, don't put that there. And they're like, oh, I'm putting it there.
Well,
this guy just stuck it in his underwear. That's amateur. That's amateur, man. A legit dude would have like sewn it into his nutsack or something.
Let's get to bashing butts as well as G's nuts.
Wow. I mean, really? Come on. I mean, you've heard some of the things that happen in the odd news. Come on. This is like PG compared to some of that stuff.
Well, U.S. Customs and Border Protection said that Colombian citizen Ivan Rodrigo Vidal Ferrero arrived at JFK International Airport on a flight from Bogota. Officers conducted a search of his body and found two cylinders containing a brown powdery substance in the groin area of his underwear, found to be valued at $61,000.
Wow. Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Yeah, so we're not talking about just like a little viral. A little vial. Excuse me. A little vial of cocaine. We're talking about a huge thing of heroin here.
$61,000. Right. Is that what you said?
Two cylinders. So it's like a circle. Why is that dangling in your underwear?
What? Are you asking why there's a cylindrical object in this person's underwear?
Yeah, that's like not very, that's not, that's
there's
not,
already a cylindrical object there.
No, but it's like a circle though.
A cylinder.
Cylinder, isn't that a circle? Or am I thinking of the wrong thing?
Well, a cylinder is like a
if only people can see the head. It's not a pipe, is it?
Yeah, a cylinder's like a pipe.
Oh, I don't know my terms.
What did you think it was? A sphere?
I thought it was like a sphere because that's a ball, but I thought it was like a circle, like almost like a petri dish.
Well, I mean, a petri dish is a circle. Now imagine if the petri dish was really deep. That's a cylinder.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
There you go. Thank you. It's late.
What's happening?
It's late.
Oh, boy. So, no, I like this idea of carrying petri dishes in your underwear. You're growing cultures down there. Well, that's nasty.
The substance.
You're performing an experiment.
Yeah. The substance that the cops found tested positive for heroin. Customs officials said it was 2 pounds of heroin.
Well, that's a lot to carry around in your underwear.
Yeah. It can't be very comfortable.
Yeah.
Vidal Ferrero was then arrested on federal narcotic smuggling charges.
Oh, not
so,
good.
There you go. Not good.
Yeah, there's...
Not good.
There's only room for one cylinder in your underwear.
Yeah.
A meat cylinder. Why did I say that?
Good job, Mike.
Oh, God. Anyway.
All right, ready
so,
for...
So, yeah, what's next?
Here's our next story. This one is funny to imagine. Police in California have released photos of a man who was dressed in women's clothing like the character Mrs. Doubtfire at a bank.
The water's boiling.
Hello! Yeah.
That's awesome.
Of course, Mrs. Doubtfire is the 1993 comedy movie starring Robin Williams. The Santa Cruz Police Department said that the purse-toting man, dressed in a blonde wig, a navy blue outfit, and light purple long-sleeve shirt, used a note to demand money to rob the bank at 3 p.m. last Friday.
The water's boiling.
Hello!
I'm disappointed that he didn't say that. He handed the person a note where he could have said, hello, I can't do it.
Hello!
It's boiling.
Hello! Yeah.
Hello!
Hello! Yeah, why not? That'd be a great way to enter the bank.
Yeah. Hello! This is a bank robbery! Give me all your money to Mrs. Doubtfire! Oh, dearie! Stick all the money in the cash! In all the money in the cash! All the money in the bank!
Boiling.
Hello!
That's the sequel to Mrs. Doubtfire.
Mrs. Doubtfire 2, The Search for More Money.
Search for More Money, yes. It's meta because the movie is making money and Mrs. Doubtfire is also robbing banks, so.
When the bank employees started to talk to the suspect, they were surprised to see that although the suspect was dressed like a female, the suspect was actually a male. That was when one of the employees noted that the suspect was dressed like Mrs. Doubtfire.
See, I think he was taking a preemptive measure, thinking, if I can make the cops laugh by dressing like Mrs. Doubtfire, maybe I'll get off easy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's how it works,
it's
right?
It's funny.
It's a joke. Yeah, it's a joke.
I'm not actually robbing the
bank.
Yeah. It's all a big prank. Jimmy Kimmel told me to do this.
Yes, it was a Jimmy Kimmel stunt.
Yeah, of course.
Boiling.
Hello! Yeah.
Is that like the new get out of jail free card?
Jimmy Kimmel told me to do it.
It's a Jimmy Kimmel stunt. Sir, you burned down a school. Yeah, you know, all in the sake of showbiz.
But it got 2 million views on YouTube. We yeah, showed exactly. the public wrong.
Well, 2 million? Oh, okay. Well, you're free to go, sir. What is the level of virality or viralness that you have to achieve in order to get out of jail free?
2 million a day.
2 million a day?
Yeah. A million a day. I don't know. A million or two a day, I think.
A million or two a day.
You gotta crack 7 digits.
Okay. So, how long do you have to keep up that rate of 1 million views a day?
The whole time, or else you get arrested.
The whole time for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Oh my god. I've been going for 3 years straight. I don't know how this is possible.
That's not good. That means that Gangnam Style guy can get away with murder and he'd be all right.
Well, how many? I can't do the numbers. That would only be like 3 years. No, 6 years. Because you would have to, if it's 1 million views a day, that's 365 million views a year, which means that he's got 2 billion views. So roughly, he's got about 6 years, I think.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
Yeah.
He's made it out of the statute of limitations.
Yeah, by that point, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he's fine. He's good. He's good. Psy committed murder. You heard it here first. That's what you're saying, right?
Right. And he can get away with it, too. He's the most dangerous man in the world.
Oh, all right. So what else happened in this story? I'm assuming this person didn't get out of jail free, though.
No. Police were able to catch the suspect. Further prevented him from committing any further criminal act. So, sorry, Mrs. Doubtfire, you did not rob the bank.
Spoiling.
Hello!
Alright, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
Alright, this one is just random. A farmer in Leroy, Minnesota.
Oh, God.
Yes, I didn't realize that. It's Leroy. L-E-R-O-Y, Leroy. That's how you would pronounce it, right?
Leroy Jenkins!
Woo! Yeah!
I can't believe there are actually people named... Oh, no, this is...
The town.
The town is named Leroy.
Leroy Jenkins!
When was the town founded? Was it founded after the video, do you think? Or before the video?
Well, I think before, because if it was after the Leroy Jenkins video, the town would be named Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah, that's too on the nose, though.
Leroy Jenkins!
The town slogan is just Leroy, which is like four, like five or six O's.
Yeah, right.
Well, anyway, a farmer in Leroy, Minnesota.
Leroy Jenkins!
That will never get old.
No. All right, a farmer in Leroy, Minnesota is probably having a cow after some ballsy thieves stole his bull semen.
Oh, wow. Okay. No, that's a real, I guess that is a real thing, because they do the breeding to make the best cows and stuff.
Yep.
But still, why, what would thieves want bull semen for?
I don't know.
To drink or
oh,
what are you going to use it for? I don't know.
Well, a frozen canister about the size of a milk jug was stolen from an unlocked barn that belonged to Daniel Wienus sometime last week.
I'm sorry. I'm like a fifth grader, Wienus.
Yes, it's Wienus. The canister contained a bunch of vials of bull semen. That's valued between $3,000 to $1,500 each. Therefore, the canister was worth $500 by itself. And the entire milk jug was worth $70,000.
Wow.
Yeah, that escalated really quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I gotta go find a bull. Stand still, Mr. Bull. Look at this cow porn. This will be over quick.
So what, you're actually helping it with the with
well, how do you think they get it, Rich?
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
What do you think they do? Just snap their fingers and it just explodes into a milk jug?
I don't know. don't know. I never gave it much thought until today.
This is a first for everything.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
No, this is going to sound weird, but I've watched a video, not on this subject specifically, but it was part of a larger documentary about genetically modified organisms, because they breed super cows that like have like three times the mass of normal cows. And the way that they get the bull semen is they make a fake cow for it to hump. And it, you know,
I know it's something to do with sex.
And basically it's just, you know, ejaculating into a big vial, like a turkey baster that they then use to impregnate the cows. I'm dead serious.
Can't believe you know this much about
it. It's part of another documentary, I swear. Of course, yeah. It is. Look, you watch your Iron Sheik documentaries. I watch my weird
Bull semen
documentary. It was about genetically modified organisms.
It's not the... It wouldn't... What am I trying to say is that... What am I trying to say?
I know it's something to do with sex.
So, I didn't know it was that valuable, though.
Yep. Police have said in an official statement that there is a market for bull semen. A lot of people bid on it and purchase it instead of transporting their animals to and from a site that is designed to extract the bull semen from the cows.
How much do you think a bull costs?
I don't know.
Do you want to go halves on a bull?
No, that's all you, man. That is
Think of the profit, though, Rich. Think of the profit. If we just keep... I was going to say something really vulgar. If we just keep them going 24-7, you know? We can make a lot of money.
It's not the... It wouldn't... What am I trying to say is that... What am I trying to say?
All right, so there you go. Great.
What I'm trying to say, though, is that if a bull costs less than $70,000, we can make a killing.
Yeah, all right. You do all that.
You don't want to be part of this venture?
I'll just be a producer. I'll just, you
A
know.
Producer?
Yeah, you go do...
Why would I need a producer? Producer of what?
Go do stuff.
Go do stuff. What are you going to do, stay on the sidelines and direct? All
right,
yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Right in there, yeah.
Yeah, you just go... You go out on the farm. I'll stay here in the city.
Hey, I'm going to be rolling in bull semen money.
And
bull semen, yeah. It's a messy job. Oh, man. I didn't know there was such a big market for bull semen.
Apparently there is enough to steal
it. I wonder, do people trade in other animal semens?
I don't know.
I mean, what is the extent of this market? Like, do people buy, horse semen? Because they breed horses, like thoroughbreds and stuff, like purebreds and stuff like that.
I have no idea.
Come on, Rich.
This doesn't
intrigue you in the least that there's a whole market devoted to bull semen.
I never, this is one documentary I didn't watch.
It wasn't about, god damn it. I'm telling you, it's interesting. They have these really muscular, freaky looking cows.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
Oh, boy.
Well, there you go. Just in case you need information on bull semen, tweet at Mikey Costanzo.
No.
If you have any questions, send it his way.
Oh, God. Hashtag bull semen. It's gonna be a mess.
How about we move on to another subject?
Sure, yeah.
How about we get to some weird excuses here?
Okay, I like weird excuses.
This one's a good one. I can't believe somebody had the balls to do this. Metro police tracked down a man who was wanted for a shooting that injured five people last weekend. He was arrested by the cops, who claimed that although the man wanted to turn himself in, he initially did not want to surrender and asked the cops, quote, for a weekend off so that he could chill with his homies this weekend. Oh, how reasonable. Yeah. officers.
Can you arrest me on Monday? I'm looking forward to this weekend.
Yeah, I'm too busy, all right? I can't help you out. But Monday, I'm free. I'll be in the office. Just
come arrest me at my place of employment.
Yeah, all
right? I don't want to work there anymore anyway.
Yeah, right.
That would be a pretty badass way to go, though. If the cops just, like, kick down the door and drag you out. That'd be pretty cool. Maybe not. I don't know. I've never been arrested while at my job before.
24-year-old Dominique Stone was booked on several warrants. Investigators said that Stone came to the police station to ask if he could turn himself in after next week because he needed to chill with his homies this weekend and asked if the cops could accommodate his schedule.
So wait, rewind. Were the cops on his trail anyway?
Yeah.
Arrest was inevitable.
Right.
Okay. So basically, this is basically the plot of Les Mis. Because Valjean asked Javert if he can just, you know, save
Cosette.
Cosette.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
yeah
right.
The daughter.
Yeah, 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 he does. He has Javert,
he's like,
yeah.
Yeah, he's like, 3 days are all I need. So they saw the
weekend.
Yeah, weekend, yeah.
Please, Metro Police, I just need a weekend off with my homies.
I gotta get wasted with my friends.
And then I'll come see you on Monday.
Oh, my God. I wish I could remember the lyrics of the song so I could sing. Ah.
And I'm Metro Police. I cannot let you go.
Listen to me. 3 days are all I need.
No, Dominic Stone. You cannot go.
But I want to. I want to get wasted with my friends.
Come back here, Dominic Stone. At least we have his name.
Yes. Dominic Stone. That's great. I am the Metro Police. Well, we've already had Les Mis 2, the breadening.
Yes.
So is this Les Mis 3, Weekend at Bernie's?
Weekend at Dominique's.
Weekend at Dominique's. Yes.
There you go.
Les Mis 3.
Les Mis 3.
It's a trilogy now.
Yeah,
as all good movie franchises these days.
Yeah, right.
Les Mis 3. What was that? Weekend at Dominique's?
Yeah, because he's obviously going to have a great party.
Yeah.
It's so good, he has to tell the police, I need to have this weekend off.
Yeah, really?
And then you can come arrest me.
leave it to me to connect it to Les Mis, though. People won't know this, but I was singing Les Mis before the show.
Yeah. That's why I played the remix.
The Look Down remix. Yeah. That was awesome.
So
look down, look down. Dominique doesn't want to get arrested. It's too many, way too many syllables. Look down, look down. He wants a weekend party.
There you go. That sounds better.
Yeah.
All right. Ready for our next story?
Yeah.
All right, it's time for our obligatory Florida story.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yep, we always seem to have one of these Florida stories. just happens.
Yeah.
There's just no avoiding it.
It's true.
And here's this week's Florida story. A family of four had a rude awakening Friday morning when the homeowner's ex broke into the house and decided to poop everywhere.
Of course.
Yeah, why not?
Why is it always poop? Why?
The family was asleep at first, but then one of the three children inside the home allegedly witnessed 27-year-old Michael Anthony Johnson break.
Oh, my God.
What?
That's two out of three of my names.
You thought I was about to say Costanza?
I was scared. I was like, oh, my God.
You're actually...
They caught me.
Were you in Florida? Is that what this is?
Guilty. No, I'm kidding. No, yeah, that's two out of three of my names. That was really frightening there.
Well, anyway, one of the three children inside the home allegedly witnessed 27-year-old Michael Anthony Johnson break into the home and defecate on various things, deputies said.
No!
This is a live recording.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. I think it's great, though. Could you imagine, like, how old was this kid? Like, you wake up in the middle of the night, you're like, you know, going to get a glass of water or something, and, you know, you come downstairs, and there's just this guy just crapping all over the living room.
By the way, on an interesting note, His Twitter profile proudly states that he is, quote, a true Floridian. Oh,
well,
so
obviously.
Nice. Obviously. Yeah. That's the quality we expect from Florida.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah, there you go. Floridian here.
Well, you know, obviously he's living up to it.
Yeah.
He's crapping on somebody else's property. That's the true essence of being a Floridian.
Johnson is accused of defecating on the victim's bed sheets, a glass kitchen plate.
It's so random. Oh, gonna serve you up a plate of crap. Wanted to say something else.
A wallet.
A wallet.
Wow. I mean, that's the definition of dirty money.
So, I'm just. This is really weird though, because he's running around the house just squirting out little turds everywhere. Yeah, he's like, you know, takes a dump on the sheets. He's got to pinch it, you know. He's got to hold it in, waddle downstairs, gets a plate out of the cabinet, makes a mud pie, runs back upstairs, finds a wallet, opens it up, you know, to take a dump in the money part.
And he also went on
more.
A dresser.
Okay.
So
on top, was it a big dresser? Like, did he just smear it on the side, or did he crawl up on top of it?
Maybe he had to jump on top of it.
Did he open up the drawer and, like, crap in there?
I think he had to jump on it, like, J.J. Watt style. And then...
It's a naked guy doing, like, a J.J. Watt six-foot jump.
Yeah.
Spinning around and just firing crap everywhere. I don't think J.J. Watt would have got his shoe deal if he had done that.
Well, Johnson was previously arrested for a domestic battery, criminal mischief, and resisting arrest charges, and he was not supposed to be at the home due to a court order. So, unfortunately, this adds a charge
I don't think
of
it,
burglary.
This isn't going to stop him, though.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
So, therefore, Johnson was charged with burglary of an occupied dwelling, criminal mischief, sanitary nuisance, providing
that's
false...
one I've never heard before. Sanitary nuisance.
Yeah.
What's the extent of that, though? Like, if somebody sneezes in your vicinity, is that sanitary nuisance?
If he does that, too.
What, just fart or take a crap?
Both.
Both.
Providing false information to law enforcement, petite theft, and aggravated stalking. Wow.
Aggravated stalking? What's that, like, stalking someone and being, like, really aggressive?
Oh, no,
like,
did you know you so much?
I'm stalking you! Just remember that I'm hiding in your bushes right now. You stalk them, like, really close, you know? Yeah. You can walk, like, right next and breathe down their neck. That's aggravated stalking. Everybody just turned off the podcast. Creepers are breathing down my neck, breathing in my ears.
We're right behind you. Look in your bushes.
Look in your bushes. Couldn't hold it any longer. I was stalking you so long. I figured the flower bed, you know, fertilize it a little bit. It all works out in the end. It's the circle of life.
Yeah.
It's a circle of life. It's a circle of life.
It's either the circle of life or the plate in the kitchen.
The plate is symbolic
yeah,
of the
right.
circle.
The circle.
It's continuous, everlasting.
That's why I crap
it's
on it.
It's the circle of crap. It's brown and mushy. Smells like my dinner. Oh my god. It's got flecks, of course.
I'm gonna stop.
Oh, no. I'm gonna stop.
No.
It's bad. It's real bad.
Oh,
man. I just ruined our entire generation's childhood. I'm sorry, Lion King fans.
Oh, that was definitely
Kuna Matata.
Take a dump in the bench.
Oh, my God. I don't know why that struck me so funny. We both got real quiet. I was like, I couldn't have done that. He's just like, take a crap in the backyard. Oh
my God. No!
I'm crying. Oh my God.
Thank you, Florida. Thank you, Florida.
giving us a good laugh.
I don't think I can come back. Okay. Okay. Whew.
All right. Ready for our next story?
Yes.
All right. This one is definitely crazy to imagine. Police say that last Friday, a huge brawl in an Arizona Walmart parking lot actually involved members of a famous Christian family band. Yeah, right.
God is an awesome God. He reigns.
You know the song. They always sang this song at church. Come
yeah,
on.
Right. This is the one, like, you were force-fed.
God is an awesome God.
He's just gonna play. Don't make it, don't make me turn these lyrics into crap lyrics too.
No. No, a matter of fact, the story gets even weirder.
So wait, they were involved in a brawl?
Yeah, with cops.
The cops?
Yeah, it's so Christian.
Yeah, well, I mean, sure.
The fight involved up to 8 members of the Gaver family, which is a well-known Christian family band from Boise, Idaho, also known as Matthew 24 Now.
God is an awesome God.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously. Just so well-known here.
Oh, man.
The incident began when a female Walmart employee at the Cottonwood, Arizona store tried to use a women's restroom and was shoved away from the door by members of the Gaver family. Nathan Gaver told police that his mother, Ruth, was using the restroom and that he and his brother, Jeremiah, were, quote, guarding it.
Okay.
I guess.
Guarding it.
From the devil, I guess. I don't know. What the hell do you need to guard your mom in the bathroom for? Is that somewhere in the Bible that I don't know?
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above.
Well,
I just love the turn of events from like singing about crapping in the backyard to singing our God is an awesome God.
Yes, we've come full circle.
We veered so hard left and then swung all the way back to the right.
Yep.
So they're guarding their mom from toilet demons?
I guess.
People, I don't know.
Well, that's when they shoved the female Walmart employee. Police were then called to the store after a caller reported that multiple suspects had assaulted one of their female employees. When the officers arrived, the Gaver family members then attacked the cops in the parking lot.
What? So they ran out to meet the cops and just full on assaulted them.
Yeah, Christians.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
God is a vengeful God who reigns terror from above. Not gonna lie, I've been singing that version of the song for a long time.
Well,
oh my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, wow.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so dash cam video of the fight shows the Gaver family punching police while officers pulled out batons and mace to try and subdue them, but to no effect.
Well, because God's on their side. God protects them from mace.
Yes!
God is an awesome God.
Woo! Boy.
So, you hear that, people? If you pray enough, you cannot be maced or batoned.
By the police.
Yes.
Well, that's when things escalated.
Oh, because they weren't escalated enough. Okay.
Right.
Because in the odd news, it can always get worse.
Yeah, if there's one thing you've learned here on the odd news, it can always get worse.
Yeah.
21-year-old Enoch Gaver took one of the officer's belts and pulled the gun off and tried to shoot at the officers. My. You idiot.
Our God is a sniper, God who steals guns from the cops. I mean, it's a song that keeps on giving.
Yeah. Enoch then tried to shoot one of the officers and shot him in the leg.
Oh, boy.
And another,
that's not good.
Another officer, Rick Hicks, then tried to... Rick Grimes? No, Rick Hicks.
Rick Grimes.
It's not Grimes.
Chopped her head off.
No.
Or his head off.
Well, if it was Rick Grimes, this wouldn't have gotten this far. Rick Grimes would
have killed them all. Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
That's why we need Rick Grimes in real life.
Yeah, Rictatorship.
Oh, my God. But, the cities would be a mess.
But Rick Hicks then tried to hit Enoch with his baton. But when that had no effect, he then shot at Enoch, which then made him stop the brawl. So there you go. One bullet at him. All right, that's it. Enough.
Well, you know, I'm surprised they didn't keep on going. I mean, they're just shrugging off mace and batons like nothing.
Yeah. Powers. Awesome five of the Gavers family were arrested and booked into the local county jail on multiple charges, including aggravated assault on a police officer, hindering prosecution, and resisting arrest. So, wow, I don't know what the hell was up with that Christian family.
Yeah, I mean, they tried to kill the cop with a gun.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't say that in the Bible.
Thou shalt steal the police officer's handguns and fire one shot into thou's leg. It's a very obscure commandment. It's Commandment 57, Article B, paragraph
It's actually
two.
A subset.
Yeah, it's a subset, yeah. Yeah. It's one of the tablets Moses left up there on the mountain, you know?
Yeah, at that point it's too much.
God was like, take these seven tablets, and Moses was like, screw that.
I got two arms, I can carry two
I got two arms, I'm taking two tablets.
All right, that's it.
And God's like, fine, be that way. Our God is an awesome God, he reigns from have that on continuous loop and you just crank the volume up whatever you need. That's brilliant. See, people don't see this behind the scenes stuff. Rich is just like throwing the volume switch up. He just has a song on like a continuous loop playing in the background.
Yeah.
It just throws it on whenever he needs it.
I never thought I would ever need that God song.
It's like loop for like 4 hours, isn't it?
Yeah, just
go ahead one more time. God is an awesome God. And it just jumps in right in the middle of the song.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. I love it. Can you just like intermittently just throw that on in the middle of our new stories? Wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Oh my God. That's brilliant.
All right. You ready for one last story?
Yes.
All right. I think it's enough God. I think we've had enough of the God song.
Okay.
All right, and let's close out the odd news with this story. A 17-year-old was booked into the Orleans Parish Prison last Thursday, one day after New Orleans police said that he forced the woman he carjacked at gunpoint to show him how to drive her stick shift vehicle because he didn't know how to.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The victim...
I want to steal this car, but you got to teach me how to drive it first. Okay, now pull out. Careful, careful. Okay, pop the clutch. Good job. All while he's holding a gun to her head.
Yeah. The victim told police she was parking her car in the 1600 block of Coliseum Street on Wednesday. That was when 17-year-old Anthony Watson approached. He then pointed a black handgun at her and got behind the wheel of her car. Then he demanded that she hand over the keys, her wallet, and her phone. Upon realizing that he didn't know how to drive a stick shift vehicle, Watson then ordered the woman to come up, sit in the front passenger seat, and give him directions on how to drive a manual car.
That's awesome. Oh, what do you do? I mean, what do you do if you go to steal a car and you don't know how to drive it? I mean, that's why you should know stick shift.
Yeah.
So you can steal all types of cars.
Just in case you need to steal one.
Yeah. Well, you know, you never know when you'll be in a situation where you're like, oh my God, I need to steal a car. So I better learn how to drive stick shift. Imagine if you're in Germany and all they have is stick shift and you need to steal a car, you'd be screwed.
Mm-hmm. In Europe, I think it's actually mandatory.
To learn how to drive stick shift?
Yeah. I think. That's what I heard.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
I know a lot. I know a lot of it's something I read.
Something, yeah. I read.
It automatically makes it fact.
Yes, right. Something I read.
Cite your source. Something I read.
Yeah. Right. If it's good enough for Al Pacino, it's good enough for me.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I have heard that before. That's like mandatory in Europe. I don't know if it's mandatory. I just think every car is stick shift. But anyway, so yeah, learn stick shift to steal vehicles.
The carjacker then drove around for several minutes with the woman in the car while she instructed him on how to drive the stick shift. He then dropped her off near Philip and Tukapultula streets of New Orleans. I hope I said that right.
It's like, what was it? Philip and Tukapulula.
Tukapulula. I don't know. Why is your street
why is
name
one why is
annoying?
Why is, yeah. Why is one street name like Street Philip. Road and the other one is like
Tickapul? I have no idea. Tickadonymous. I don't know.
Tickadonymous.
Tickadonymous.
This is, oh my God.
Yeah. All right. You try and say it.
Tickapulas.
There you go. Thank you. I can't.
Just call it Philip and T Streets.
Right. Philip and T Streets. Luckily, the woman was not injured. He then abandoned the vehicle, and police were able to arrest him shortly after.
Watts, he gave up.
Yeah, he just gave
You'll
up.
You'll never learn if you quit while, you know, you got to stick with it.
Yeah.
Can't be a quitter.
Quitters never win.
That's right. That's right.
Watson was then booked for simple kidnapping, armed robbery, carjacking, and using a firearm in a robbery. And there you go.
Oh, boy.
That is what I have for you in the non-fortune cookie odd news. Before we wrap everything up, we like to do a little recap portion of the show. We call it, What Have We Learned on This Episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned on this episode?
Well, we've learned that you must learn stick shift in order to steal cars more effectively. It is a crucial skill.
Yep. You never know when you're going to need to steal a manual transmission.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. We also learned that you can pray to God to protect you from batons and mace.
And sing.
And sing, yes, yes.
Over and over again.
Over and over on a continuous loop.
Yeah, it's great.
Speaking of singing, though, we learned about a new hit Disney song, The Circle of Crap. And we also learned that Hakuna Matata apparently means take a crap in the backyard.
Yeah, that was the actual translation before Disney got their hands on it.
You know, that Disneyfication of everything.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Such a shame.
Such a shame, yeah. You have to stick to the original source material.
Yes.
They weren't talking about leaving your past behind. They were talking about, just take a crap in the backyard, you feel much better.
Yes, it's very natural.
It's very natural. It's very freeing, liberating.
Yes.
Just let it all go. Let it go. Let it go. In the backyard. No, I'm going to stop. Some more singing. Les Mis 3, Weekend at Dominique's.
Yes.
another great musical in the Les Mis trilogy.
Coming up.
Coming up, yeah. So the next step is now a prequel trilogy to Les Mis.
Ooh, fun.
We'll get George Lucas on that.
Yep.
We also learned that the Crispy Noodle Podcast is going into the bull semen business. Right, Rich?
That's all you, man.
Right, right, right.
I'll just stand over here with all the equipment.
No? Oh, okay. Just me? All right. I got a lot of work cut out for me.
Good luck.
We also learned that using your algorithm of 1 million views per day, you can get out of jail free for as long as you can keep that up. Which means that Psy, the person that does Gangnam Style, could stay out of jail for 6 years.
Woo!
That's incredible.
You know what? If he killed somebody, would you really be angry at him?
No. No, I'd be like, that's okay.
Yeah.
You gave us that weird horse dance, right. So you're good in my book.
You have contributed to human society. Thank you.
Is that his contribution to human society?
Yes.
Okay. We also learned that going back to get out of jail free cards, Jimmy Kimmel stunts are get out of jail free cards.
Yeah.
If you claim it's a Jimmy Kimmel stunt, you can do whatever you want. Burn down a building, steal a stick shift car.
It was all a stunt.
Yeah, it was all a stunt. It's not my fault. It's not illegal. It was a stunt. It was for TV. Oh, and yeah, this last one. We learned that just sticking drugs in your underwear is amateur. You gotta sew that stuff into your nutsack to get on the same level as the Odd News.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, come on. It's pathetic. Just stick it in your underwear. We've seen much more creative hiding places.
There you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
Woo! What a show, Mike.
Oh, man, another great one in the books. I think that Odd News is going to go down in history, Rich. That was an episode full of highlights right there.
Yeah, why not?
You're just like, yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, I'm still back on the God one.
The God one,
I
want to
just sing the praises after that one. Because nothing says Christianity like beating the crap out of cops.
Yeah. When you think Christianity, you think stealing a cop's gun and shooting him in the leg.
Yeah.
Praise Jeebus.
So there you go. This is the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find some videos of our best bits, interviews, and other fun things we've done. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your computer, phone, or tablet. You can listen to us anywhere, at work, at home, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And if you want little mini noodles of the podcast, we have those available on our SoundCloud page. We take the best bits of the show and condense them down to 1 to 2 minute clips that you can share with friends and family and strangers and cops you're beating up and
yeah,
churchgoers and whoever else comes your way.
And while you're sharing them, make sure to sing "Our Podcast is an Awesome Podcast."
Yeah, why not?
Gives us lots of Odd News. So many ways, though, to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. That's how you find us on the Twitters.
And remember, tweet Rich Bull Semen. #BullSemen.
No, it's Mike's thing.
No, it's Rich's.
It's Mike's thing. I'm the beating up the cops for being a churchgoer.
Well, you're going to jail for your thing. I'm going to be filthy rich and very dirty with my thing.
Well, there you go. Let us know.
We each have our own things, okay?
There you go. That'll do it for us. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Crispy Noodle Podcast, 2015, Kablamo! Oh, get over here, pa-pow! Something!
He's okay, better than nothing.